I'm Anthony Brabazon.
And I'm Paul Caffrey.
And this is the God Talk programme for the next half hour on 90.3 Near FM, where we'll be grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective.
Our text number during the programme is 087 69 44 500, and we'd love to hear from you. You can also email us on nearfmgodtalk@gmail.com, and you can get us on Twitter at nearfmgodtalk.
And we were just testing there, see the text thing is working. It is working, so that's fantastic. Remember that number, and we'll have a particular question for you later in the programme to text in on. And you can also, we have a new thing as well, Paul. It's a companion website
good.
Which we've launched with great pomp and ceremony.
It's up and running, is it?
It's up and running. And the address is, you have to pay attention, it's God Talk Radio Blog at WordPress.com. So it's a bit long, but there you go. God Talk Radio blog at WordPress.com. I think we'll make a song with that in it and then people remember it or something.
I'll leave that to you, Anthony.
And that'll build up as we archive, but also it's a resource and it's a way to, as we go on with certain themes, you know, we can have stuff on the website for people to dip into later, because there's a lot of things we touch on. I think we find the...
So things for people to read or to check out, they can read, we can put stuff up there for them.
Well, I know for some people, half an hour of talk radio is like an eternity, but for us, it's like a flash in the pan. It just flies too fast every time. So we tend to be dealing with the surface of a lot of issues and we want to get deeper into. But that's okay. So I think the website will, as time goes on, form an added resource for that benefit.
That's great. Good to have it.
Yeah. And greetings go out today to Pedro and to Joseph, Anton, Dave and Ron Mullins and Billy Jago. And thanks also to our podcast staff at Near FM, especially to Donny, and wish you the best, Donny, in what you're going through at the moment. And Paul also. And Paul, do you have some people?
Yeah, just I want to send my usual greeting to Spencer, who is a faithful listener and critic, and also to Emmanuel, who has started listening to our podcast from the start. He said he has listened to number one. He's going to go right through them. So I don't know how he's getting on with that project.
Yeah, but anyway,
hi, Emmanuel, if you happen to listen to this one.
And you're still talking to your critics. Very good. You must be a forgiving guy, yeah? I'm only kidding. Anyway, so listen, I'm going to open the discussion here. There's a book that was given to me actually by Pedro, who got a greeting a minute ago.
Oh, good.
And it's called Dipping into the Word of God, Introductory Bible Studies by a chap called Warren Nelson.
Now that name rings a bell.
Yeah.
Who's Warren Nelson?
Well, I think when the annals of Christian history of Ireland are finally written, I think Warren's going to feature in that because he was very much a pioneer in setting up the Irish Bible College down Colebrook, County Tipperary. And it's now morphed and developed into the Irish Bible Institute in Dublin. And
What do we know about Warren?
Well, I think probably the safest thing to do is just to read a section out of it where he introduces himself and his background, because it does put something in context to me anyway. He says, my grandparents reared 13 children in William Street, Drogheda, in the shadow of St. Peter's Church in the early 20th century. Two of the boys' names are on the roll of honour in the church porch. But emigration, especially that resulting from political upheavals, meant that the whole family in time left Drogheda. Only my father came back, and this is how I grew up in Drogheda, attending St. Peter's. I gained a lot from belonging there. A sense of community, a sense of awe from the high ceiling, the Hebrew letters high above the Lord's table, and the strong pillars and the dim religious light from the stained glass on the great east window. I gained an appreciation of continuity when the church celebrated the bicentenary of the present building when I was at school. I got a sense of history from the imposing memorials and plaques on the walls, and not least from the brass plaque commemorating Jackie Emerson, who served in the RAF and was lost over Denmark. He had worked with my father, and so world history made its inclusion into my world, and in time I took my place in the tradition of a Sunday school teacher and a member of the select vestry. So at this point in time, Paul, you probably gathered he's Church of Ireland.
Church of Ireland. Interesting, because I actually used to live quite near that church, and I listened to the sounds of the bells of St. Peter's many a Sunday for about a year and a half. And I remember being at a carol service there once upon a time. So I do know exactly where it is. Lovely old church. Yeah, I think it probably is built in the 1700s.
Yeah, right. So I'll carry on. I said I did go to classes to become a bell ringer.
Yeah, there you go.
But I have no sense of rhythm and little of mathematics, so change ringing was a mystery to me, and I doubled back on the very stairs of the tower the first night I was to join in actually ringing the bells. So you were spared from him bell ringing. Like it's you were spared like from my singing last week or 2 weeks ago.
Spared from Warren's bell ringing.
Yeah. Anyway, so he says he's the archetypal Church of Irelander. He said, but any idea of personal faith, any appreciation of Christ as a needed saviour, any love of the Bible truth was beyond my horizon. That there was good news to be believed and passed on did not come into my thinking. I was the archetypical Church of Irelander, attached by culture, tradition, family connection and accident of Irish religious history. My theology was a gentle form of barter with God, by which I hoped to just keep ahead and end up eventually with a sufficient balance on the side of good to get me into heaven. Nothing I heard seemed to contradict this. So at the age of 20, having been trained in the technical and design side of weaving in the closing days of the old style textile manufacture in Ireland, I got it into my head to migrate to Australia. I found myself in a very different but fascinating world under sunny skies in Sydney. I got work in textiles easily and out of custom went to church, but there was a difference. No one else in my digs went. No one I worked with went. A Sunday morning in Sydney was very different to one in Drogheda. At that stage, I could perhaps have fallen into the mould and become one of Australia's amiable pagans. But a change in work took me to a different suburb, different digs, and to a run-down Anglican church in Bondi Junction. The rector was not what we would call popular, but was a man of faith, godliness and integrity. He involved me in all that was going on, which wasn't hard. There wasn't much going on. And there was only a handful of worshippers. Then one day in early 1961, he asked me, had I any personal knowledge of salvation? And he talked about the words of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, by grace you have been saved through faith. So it was a revolution. He had given me the key that opened up the treasure house of biblical truth and helped me understand what theology, that is getting to know God, is all about. My ideas of merit mongering collapsed. Mere religion changed to new life in Christ. All the unheeded bits and pieces came together to make sense of the gospel of the salvation won by the death of Christ on the cross and opened all who believed and trusted him. When I sailed home to Ireland in August that year, I was a changed person with a new centre of gravity to my life. I have learned much and refined some of my ideas, but what I am still comes from that conversion experience, and my basic understanding of the gospel has not changed, nor had to change, despite all I've read and studied since. When I came home to Drogheda, I came with a call to preach and teach this good news. My call didn't come from a vision or from an inner voice, but from the conviction of a compelling argument. How many other Irish people attend church and serve in church as I did, without knowing the freedom that is in Christ, or without knowing the assurance of having eternal life? And this is not a presumptuous assurance. It is based on what Christ has done. John in his first letter says, I write to you who believe, that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. Now, I think that's very eloquently written, what he said.
Terrific testimony, isn't it?
It's, you know, I don't think it's exclusive to the Church of Ireland. I think it's true for Roman Catholic as well. You know,
certainly
that there's so many who will be good church people, let's put it that way, and yet not have that that basic theology he defines as getting to know God. you know, just that knowledge of God in a personal way. And that really paints for me when I read that. I could understand his passion for teaching the Bible in Ireland, mm-hmm. which was a pioneering work, and that's why God talks on the air, you know, is to somehow hopefully arouse your curiosity, listener, and encourage you in this new year to dare open that dusty book on your high shelf called the Bible.
Okay.
So what do you make of that, Paul?
That's good. I think I don't have the book. I have a few different copies of various sets of collections of short readings and, mm-hmm. and daily readings. Some people like to read something every day from a certain writer, and I gather that Warren's book is a little bit like that. It's something that you can sort of dip into. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. He starts, he emphasises a lot, and we might get into it in a minute, in Colossians chapter 1. Mm-hmm. You know, it's this kind of basic theology of our life in Christ, because to me, I know that that's the foundation of really getting into the Bible, is knowing the author, knowing the person. It's difficult to get, number one, enthused about the Bible or interested if you're denying the author. Mm. You know. So on that note, you know, in Colossians 1, he starts off. And
this is one of Warren's reflections, is based on Colossians chapter 1, is that right?
Well, see, the premise of the book, which is written on the back cover, mm-hmm. you have it there, Paul.
You give me the blurb.
See what it says.
Yeah, so Warren says, just like the man who believes in insurance but didn't have any, many believe that they should read the Bible but have never got round to it. That's understandable. The Bible is a big book. Where do you start? Interesting. This is our discussion last week, remember?
Yeah, he was listening.
He says, where do you start? You may have seen some work of art and made very little of it. Then you discovered something about the artist's background and style. His imagery was explained. Then you got it. It makes sense. It came alive. My hope is that this small work is to explain a little background to show where the writers were coming from in order to open up the message of the Bible to you and to you, the Bible. It's interesting because he's assuming there that the Bible isn't a book that always just yields up its treasures first time. You know, mm-hmm. you could open it. It can be a very frustrating exercise.
Yeah.
I always find it interesting. I mentioned, I think, last week in Luke chapter 24, where Jesus with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, it said he opened their minds. And also he said he made their hearts burn within them. He explained the scriptures. And then when he meets the disciples later the same day, he says he opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
Yeah. Wow.
So, in other words, that this understanding is needed, and we certainly have the Holy Spirit to help us understand the scriptures. And if somebody comes as an honest seeker and opens the book almost anywhere, God can speak to them. So we gave some indication last week where somebody might begin, for example, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, but that you also, it's great to have a help like Warren's book. What's he call it? Dipping into the Word of God, Introductory Bible Studies.
Yeah.
And there are many books like that. Mm-hmm. That will take a particular theme or will take a particular book and will sort of comment on it and help us to understand what isn't necessarily an easy book to start with anyway.
No, but start. It's just by the action of starting. It's like a what's that thing you quoted weeks ago? It says a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. Like that. You mm-hmm. know, in the same way, if it stays up on your shelf as a dusty, sealed up book, well, you just got to break it open.
There's a verse. Can I give you before you? I know you want to go into Colossians chapter 1, but there's a verse I was looking at in John chapter 5, where Jesus speaking with those great Bible scholars, the Pharisees, and it's in John chapter 5 and verse 39. I better turn it up here. But it's Jesus speaking to people who are already scholars of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. John chapter 5 verse 39. He said to them, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life.
This the Pharisees.
The Pharisees he was talking to, yeah. So he says, you search the scriptures. So they were diligent searchers of the scriptures. They were Bible scholars. He says, because you think that in them you have eternal life.
Yeah.
So that can be a kind of a subtle temptation for theologians or intellectual types. They think that the life is in the book, in the words.
Yeah. But then he says also it's not. Warned the Pharisees elsewhere. He says you have nullified the word of God by your traditions.
By your traditions, yeah, that's right.
Which is kind of sobering, and it's a good warning for everybody. Is don't let your traditions nullify the life that's in Christ.
That's right.
Do you know what we're going to do, Paul? We're going to do something we haven't done before. We're going to ask people to text in on a specific question.
Okay.
So I'm going to
put out the question ready.
Well, I'm going to put out the question, then I'm going to give you the text number again. Mm-hmm. So the question is this: do you, dear listener? And if you're driving home this evening, you're not allowed to text. but if you're at home and you have your phone there, text in to us. And here's the question. Do you think the Bible is A, a book written by men, or B, a book written by God? And the text number is
087-69-44-500.
So send that in to us now in a minute. And in the meantime, we're going to play a piece of music, actually. We're going to play a piece from the Blind Boys of Alabama.
Oh, good.
And
I
this
like
is a
that.
Song called The Presence of the Lord. The Blind Boys of Alabama with Billy Preston on the keyboards
stuff.
With them.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff there. So I'm going to jump right in here to Colossians and read some, Paul, and you need to kick me under the table at appropriate times and interject as
first
I read
just
it.
To say something about this. This is a letter, isn't it? It's, you know, there are different kinds of writings in the Bible. The Bible, as we know, means books and there are different kinds of writings. So there's Gospels, which are stories, there's Acts, which is history, there's poetry. But this is actually a letter written by Paul to the people of a place called Colossae, which is in modern Turkey.
Right, okay.
So it's a letter.
Is it still there, Colossae?
Yeah, there are ruins of it there. I don't know that it's a living city today.
Yeah, most of them are ruins, actually. I went to see Ephesus, it was gone.
Yeah.
Bit of a ruin. Anyway, okay, I'll read from verse 9. I'm going to take it. I say, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Not wild, it's the Spirit gives wisdom. And we're in a world that's full of knowledge, but boy do we need wisdom. Spirit gives that. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Talk to me, Paul, about that. Kingdom of darkness. I mean, what on earth
kingdom
is that
Kingdom of darkness
about?
Is, I suppose, anybody who doesn't know God. Jesus says God is, the scripture says that God is the light. He is light. In him there's no darkness. Jesus says, I am the light. I've come into the world so that whoever follows me may not walk in darkness. So clearly the implication, the scriptures teach us that somebody who doesn't know God and doesn't have the knowledge that the scriptures gives, doesn't know Jesus, is walking in darkness.
Yeah,
we're all kind of groping. And even the wisest of philosophers, there's sort of groping for answers, and you meet people and they're very old and they say at the end of their lives they know even less. They're still kind of groping. So it says
there's another dimension.
He has come as a light. So he's transferred us from the kingdom of darkness, from the domain of darkness, into the kingdom of his own Son, where all is light, where there's brightness.
Yeah, there's another dimension to darkness, because it's where sin happens in darkness. I mean, really, the trouble and the crime that happens in this city happens after dark, you know. And in fact, if you listen to the Sunday evening news, it's terribly tragic, but you will always find there's murders and crimes go on at the weekends because people are out partying more. There's more late night carry on and bottles of knives and terrible things happening, you know. And it's sort of, you know, whereas the light, it's, you know, people, either the crooks have gone to bed.
Yeah, they don't do things in broad daylight.
They don't do things in daylight.
They don't do things where there are floodlights and security cameras and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So they look for dark corners to do dark
things.
But
the Bible is always a Hebrew book, so it's got that manifold meaning to it. So when it talks about the kingdom of darkness, you know, it's talking about that. And it's really, I know in my own story, Paul, when I was 23 years old, it really was like the lights were turned on in my life. I did not understand things until I met Jesus Christ, and it was very real. Do you know what? I'd love to read more, but I'm going to have to pause that, because we're going to bring in our prayer at the end of the program. And the prayer is in Psalm 119, isn't it?
It's from Psalm 119, and it ties in with what we've been saying about the scriptures. No, that's the longest of the Psalms, as we know. But one of the verses in it is, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. So the scriptures, God's word, is a lamp and is a light. So here's a prayer of really expressing our love for the Word of God, for his revelation. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end.
Wow, well, you've been listening to 90.3 Near FM, the God Talk programme. We're here with you every Monday at 5 o'clock, 5 to 5.30.
5.30.
And Paul, just on the question we asked earlier for the public here.
Okay.
There was, the question was the book, was the Bible a book written by man or by God? Well, what do you have to say, Paul, to that?
It's both.
Written by God.
It's written by human authors, human writers, inspiration by God.
Well, God bless you all, and thank you very much for listening. And tune in next week.
Good evening, listeners. God bless you all. God bless you.